Welcome to the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Griffith. I'm a business copywriter and blogger here in Orlando and the owner of OrlandoLadyBoss.com. Thank you for listening to the episode. And if you like what you have been hearing and you've been listening to the show, please take a moment to rate me on iTunes and Google Play. That is how other people are able to find the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast so they can hear about all the awesome things that are going on in Orlando and all the awesome women that are making impacts in Orlando. So please share the love. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or on Google Play. Thanks so much. And welcome to episode 22. We are kind of in the dead middle of summer, aren't we? Or as us Floridians like to call it, you know, summer part one, and we're about to go into summer part two, right? As the rest of the world just finishes out their regular summer. But as things slow down a little bit and the days are long and maybe, you know, business is a little slow. I know a lot of people went on vacation the week of the 4th of July. I think it's a really good time for us to talk about self-care and mindfulness and how we can use that within our business or within our careers, in our everyday lives, because I think it's so important to understand where we're coming from on the inside. And so today's guest is Shante, and she is a modern day medicine woman. And I had a lot of fun talking to her, and I know you're going to enjoy listening to what she has to say. But we talked a lot about mindfulness and some easy steps that you can take to be a little bit more mindful in your everyday life. We also talked about self-care, or what Shante likes to call soul care, and how maybe what we're doing, or what we call self-care in the modern life right now, isn't actually quite self-care, but she has some tips and ideas for things you can do that actually can help you take care of yourself a little bit more. You're just so focused on everything else but yourself. Today's episode is perfect for you to sit down, really listen, and implement some of these tools into your life and take just a little extra time to think about yourself and who you are and how you can take care of yourself. And these are all things that Shante is such an expert at. And let's get on to the interview now. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Orlando Lady Boss. I'm Diana, and I am here today with Shante, who I am friends with through an organization called Fem City here in Orlando. And Shante doesn't like titles, so I don't want to start off with telling you anything more about that, about her than that. So welcome to the show, Shante.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. And can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do and what you're about?
Yes. Thank you, Diana, for having me. I consider myself a modern day medicine woman. So if I were to have a title, that's what it would be. Mm-hmm. And I support women in unlocking their greatest potential by helping them tap into themselves.
Okay.
And reaching their personal power. Mm-hmm. And so I do this in a number of ways through herbalism, sacred plant medicine, through energy healing, through just talking and coaching, intuitive insight, just the kind of list goes on, mm-hmm. with ways I'm able to support mostly women in their journey to really uncover their best self.
Wonderful. So one of the things that you talk about a lot and you mentioned was mindfulness. And you even, on your website, you call yourself a mindfulness practitioner. What exactly is mindfulness, though, and according to you? And what are some ways that women can practice mindfulness every day?
Cool. So I love the way you said, what is mindfulness to me?
Yeah.
Because I really feel like Mindfulness has several and many different definitions based on who you're talking to. And so mindfulness for me is about being aware and being in connection to myself and my surroundings and noticing what's going on. That is, for me, the gist of mindfulness. And so my mindfulness practice is very practical. I like to make things practical because I think it's because I'm a Capricorn and we like practical application of things. And so for me, mindfulness really was a practice of slowing down and noticing what was happening inside of my body and what was happening inside of my emotions when I was moving through a really, really rough time. And so I was moving through this really rough time, and I put a sign on in front of my desk that said, I will be aware. I will take a walk every day at lunch. I will notice how I feel. And I had this bullet point, and it sat in front of me. And every time I looked up at the wall, I would see it, and that would help me move through this major grief that I was moving through. Well, I was talking with a therapist, and I was telling her what I did. And she said, oh, well, that sounds like mindfulness. And I said, oh, I just thought I was being cool.
I think people were going to get a little deep on this show today, I think. I think that's awesome because one of the things that I notice is when I'm the most stressed or the most anxious is when I'm the least mindful about what's going on, because I don't feel like I have time or whatever. And I remember I had a boss in a job where it was a very high stress job. And anytime he saw me get like that, he's like, Diana, just breathe, breathe. Just breathe and slow down. And I think that that's, to me, like the simplest form of mindfulness, like just stopping for a second and just evaluating everything that's going on about yourself. And I even like how you said evaluating your emotions. And that's one thing that I've done a lot in the last year is like really sitting down when I'm going through hard emotions and trying to pinpoint what is that emotion?
Yes.
Or am I feeling multiple emotions at the same time?
Yes.
And just trying to put those things together, because if you're kind of aware about what it is that you're feeling, then, or what's going on around you and inside you, you can make better decisions and maybe calm yourself down.
So there's this acronym that we use in the counseling field for some of us who are in the mindfulness pieces, and it's called STOP. And so the S stands for stop. The T stands for take a breath. The A stands for, no, I'm sorry, S-T-O. The O stands for observe. And so that observation is what's happening within me, what's happening outside of me. And then the P stands for proceed with wisdom. Or proceed with something helpful. And so that acronym is kind of being passed around to support people who are dealing with trauma, who might be triggered at certain times. And so if they could remember to stop, stop, take a breath, observe what's going on, and then proceed with something helpful, it can bring them back to center. And so again, it's kind of like that stop and breathe. It's those small things that we can do, that practical application of this word that sometimes seems so mystical, but really it's not. We can go into any culture, go back far enough, and they're teaching us, their community, to notice what's around them. And that's what it is. Notice what's around you, and notice what's happening within you.
And I think in the modern world, we don't think about that as much. And I have, I have an association with a linguistic professor. And one of the things that we talk with her is about, how language is created, obviously, because she's a linguistics professor, and how it has a relationship to the community or to the place where that language was created. Because
at the end of the day, humans are, I don't want to say animals, but we're part of this world.
Yes.
And how we react, interact with our surroundings, with nature, for all of these things. Yes. Like, we're part of this. And sometimes I think as humans, we think that we're above it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we're not.
Yes.
And so sometimes you just have to stop. I love that acronym. Yes. That you gave.
Yes.
And really just take a second to reconnect to everything that's going on around you.
Yes.
So you can prioritize where the next thing is.
Yes, that mm-hmm. proceeding with wisdom mm-hmm. is a huge piece mm-hmm. in the process. It's funny, I was taking a shower, getting ready to come, and I was just thinking about, you know, what I wanted to talk about and what you're going to ask me. And I know my whole connection to nature is always fascinating to people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking about our connection, our meaning humans, mm-hmm. our connection to nature, and what makes it so profound, for me anyway. And nature's our blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
So a blueprint is the structure
mm-hmm.
that something is going to be built upon.
Mm-hmm.
And so if nature is our blueprint, then our connection to nature is that we're connecting to that original structure.
Mm-hmm.
And when we connect to that original structure, we get direction
mm-hmm.
and we get understanding and we get comfort in how to move and how to find more harmony
mm-hmm.
in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I associate the nature, call it nature therapy, if you will,
mm-hmm.
with stressing less.
But I think, I mean, I know me, and I think anyone else who, I'm going to say 95% of people, if they get out into nature, and I'm saying a park or
yes.
sitting by a lake or something, not necessarily going on a hike or climbing a
uh-huh.
mountain, they're, and just sitting in it and just, you know, being in that place, it will make you feel better.
It does.
It does. You know, get out, enjoy the sunshine, maybe early in the morning in Florida right now.
In Florida, definitely.
But, you know, just getting out and just being a part of nature, I think it is a good way to reset things. I totally agree with that. And I even notice with my husband specifically, when he's really stressed, I try to get him, like, near a body of water.
Yes.
Like, that, for him,
yes.
being by water calms him.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes. And I think everyone has their landscape, their mm-hmm. terrain that really supports them and calls them.
Mm-hmm.
For some, it's the water. For mm-hmm. some, it's the trees and the forest. And for others, it's like a meadow or grassy or
mm-hmm.
desert or mountains. There's a teaching, there's a grandmother teaching about getting to all the different landscapes throughout, like, a 4-year period.
Hmm.
And so going to the mountains and then going to the ocean and then going to the desert and then going to, like, the tropics. They talk about the importance of being in the different energy of each of these terrains.
Mm-hmm.
And that each terrain brings a different healing
mm-hmm.
for you. And so I know it's because when we go to the beach, we feel one way. And when we go to the park, we feel another way.
Yeah.
So you're kind of incorporating those different terrains in your, you go to the mountains, you feel another way.
Yeah, I was just recently yeah. in the Northwest, and it's so different from here. And so you kind of feel different. The air feels different.
Yes.
The atmosphere just feels different.
Yes.
It just is a little bit different than
yes.
it is here. And you're right. It can make you feel just sitting there and trying to decipher what those feelings are. Is something that we as humans don't do enough
no,
of, I don't
we
think
don't.
Of.
I'll say here in the West,
yeah.
in this modern
yes.
culture, we just tend to not.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to really be in our head,
mm-hmm.
which is why going outside wouldn't be pleasant for some,
mm-hmm.
because we're not mindfully observing.
Mm-hmm.
We're in our head thinking
mm-hmm.
and trying to problem solve, or we're just in a different space. So if we can come out of our head and notice
so,
what's happening.
My question to you then is, so say there's this person that's listening to this right now, because I know there's probably one going, that's all nice, Shantae, but I really hate the outside. You are not going to get me outside.
Yes.
I don't agree with you. What would you say to someone like that? What would be small things that they could do to help maybe help them see maybe the kind of bigger picture that you're seeing or that I'm seeing.
Yeah. So what comes to me is another story. Mm-hmm. So when I was young, I had the mumps back when people got mumps. Mm-hmm. And so when you had the mumps, you stayed home from school. So I was home for a couple weeks with my mom. And I was on the end part of my whatever was going on. And she's like, okay, we're going to go outdoors. Mm-hmm. We're going to go she didn't say a park, but in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, we're going to go to the park. Mm-hmm. But she was like, we're going to go outside and go for a walk. I was like, okay. We drove to a store. And I'm like, we're just driving to a store. And I remember this. I was probably maybe 5. And she drove and parked at the furthest spot away from the store. The furthest corner you could find in this parking lot is where she parked. And when I got out, I remember saying, oh, wow, she parked so far away. We really are going to go for a walk. Mm-hmm. It was a walk to the store. But when I got out, I just noticed the trees. I can see it as I'm talking about it. I remember looking up in the sky. I was little, but I looked up in the sky and I saw the cloud. And we were walking to the store to do our shopping. And so for that person, like, oh, I don't like the outside. I don't like this. Everybody has to get out of their car and walk into a building or get their mail. Mm-hmm. And it's in those moments you could make a connection with the natural environment. Mm-hmm. Even if it's, wow, I notice that flower over there. Mm-hmm. And you keep walking. Just that moment of noticing that flower can bring such energy to parts of yourself that you didn't realize those parts were starving for that flower. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say, is that it can be in your walk into work that you notice something around you in the natural world.
It's more of the whole, like, just notice, just pay attention to your surroundings, maybe spend an extra minute on a normal activity that you're doing.
Yes.
And pay it, because it's true anywhere, you know, you go to work, you come home, you have the same route, and you see the same things over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And if you're driving in a car, there's certain things that you'll always miss that you'll see if you're riding a bike or you're walking, even because of just the speed of going by. You know, I think everyone can go, wait, what? I pass by here every day. Where is it? What is that thing that's there? And and everybody experiences that. So just taking that moment and just slowing down.
So there's a mindfulness teaching about meeting everything with curiosity, meeting everything as if you're meeting it for the first time. And so that same car ride that we take every day, same route, same ritual that we're doing every day, when you enter into that experience with a mindfulness type of mindset, then it's as if you're getting in the car for the first time every time you get in. It's as if you're driving that same trail, but you're looking for something new. You're looking for something that you haven't seen before because you're entering it with curiosity, like, wow, what adventure is it going to be today? I used to have a commute of 60 minutes every day, and it was the best 60 minutes of my whole day.
Really?
Because I took the same route every day, but every day I looked out the window for something new, new colors, new shades of green, new trees, what was cut down. I entered into that drive with something new was going to happen. I was going to discover something else I had not discovered before. And every day I did.
It's funny that you say that, because I had a commute that was about 60 minutes for a long time, too. The morning one didn't bother me as much. The afternoon one did. But I do, one of the things that sticks out to me besides just traffic on the commute was, in the evenings, paying attention to the sky. That you said that, I totally, like, just last week I was driving back and forth from the Disney area back into the downtown area, and I just remember the sky looked just amazing. And I was talking to a friend on the phone, and I just had to stop it and just tell her, like, the sky is amazing right now.
Yes.
And so it's, interesting that you do. You know, when you're going on the same thing every day, you kind of notice the nuances and how nature's reacting within your your immediate surroundings outside your home. What plants are blooming? Mm-hmm. I live in a home right now that has tons of plants everywhere that flower all throughout the year. There's mm-hmm. different stuff all throughout the year. And so anytime I see a new flower, I'm kind of like, ooh.
Yes.
So, yeah, I could totally see that. And I love that advice because I've never thought about it in that way for myself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's meeting every moment with curiosity. Mm-hmm. So every conversation you have. So my husband calls home every day, pretty much at the same time. Mm-hmm. And if I'm in the mindset of, all right, just going to walk in, we're going to say hello, and then we're going to kind of do a mm-hmm. But if I meet that moment every day as if it's the first time mm-hmm. I'm experiencing this moment, mm-hmm. then I'm open to something spectacular every single time.
Yeah, I think that that's good advice in your whole life, and not mm-hmm. just with connecting to nature, but definitely paying attention to, you know, getting out of that auto set,
yes.
you know, that the auto mode, that autopilot mode where you're just yes. like, this gotta be done, this gotta be done. What's on my to-do list? Let me yes. make sure I check them off. And yes. you're in that mode. And I think, especially for women business owners,
oh, for sure.
And moms, and you're a mom and yeah. I'm not, so I can't speak to that specifically, but my mom friends that I see, mm-hmm. they're always having to just be on, paying attention to everything else yes. and just in a do mode. They're always yes. in a do mode.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I get it. Yeah. Because I too am sometimes always in a do mode.
Yeah.
And it's just reminding myself that, okay, I need to be, mm-hmm. and this is the only way my children are going to get it.
Yeah.
They have to see me being. Mm-hmm. They cannot always see me doing, because then I'm teaching them doing.
Okay. So I love that saying, because one of the things, so like I said, I'm not a mom, but sometimes I like to read like articles about moms yes. and things like that, because maybe one day I will, but you know. And one of the things that I've seen some of those types of articles talk about, especially for women and women of daughters, and mm-hmm. I know you have a son, mm-hmm. But showing them how to take care of yourself and take time yes. out for yourself.
Yes.
Because if your kids don't see you taking care of yourself, especially daughters yes. to moms, mm-hmm. you're teaching them that you aren't important enough
yes. Yes.
to value. Like
yes.
your Absolutely. Being isn't important enough. Yes. Everyone else is more important than you.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Totally agree. Mm-hmm. And I'll take it even one step mm-hmm. a little deeper, is that we all have our inner girls mm-hmm. that live with inside of us. Mm-hmm. And so we're always trying to focus on supporting our inner little girl. Mm-hmm. And so if we didn't have a model, we didn't have a mother, a parent figure who showed us how to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So yes, as a woman, mm-hmm. we don't know how to take care of ourselves mm-hmm. and we don't know how to take care of our inner girl. Mm-hmm. So then she, our inner girl, also begins to suffer.
Yeah.
Which, again, as it cascades into our life, mm-hmm. you know, we suffer.
And that's one thing that gets talked a lot within my therapy. And I think I've mentioned it on the show today. And I know I've mentioned it to you and other women that I've talked to in person. Is it's always like, well, what was that little girl? And I know it sounds cheesy.
Yeah,
it is.
It's
but
not.
But it's not. And one of the things you said this, and it made me think of Brené Brown. And mm-hmm. I don't know, have you read any mm-hmm. of her stuff?
I haven't read any of her. I've read some of her things.
Okay. Yeah. So one of the books she was talking about, and when it comes to parenting, she says, if you don't understand where your uncomfortableness, where your emotions are stemming from, mm-hmm. especially as a mom, you might see some of those same characteristics in your children and not know how to sympathize in the right mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. You have mm-hmm. to be vulnerable with yourself
yes.
to let them know that, to have a safe space for them.
Yes.
To have absolutely. A safe space for them so they know I can be open, I can talk yes. about this. And then you can share your stories of like, well, I relate to this yes. because this is how I felt when I was
yes.
your age.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're creating safe places for our children, whoever we are mm-hmm. mentoring. It could be our students, our mentors, mm-hmm. but we're creating a safe place for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because I have sons, mm-hmm. but they are direct reflections yeah. of my inner child of and course. My inner children. Mm-hmm. And so...
And you might see things, and I don't want to project anything on you specifically, but you might see things in them that you don't like about yourself.
Absolutely.
And so if you see things in your children or someone else, like let's not even say children, but someone mm-hmm. else that you don't like in yourself, those are the things that you could lash out at the most if you don't have a good understanding about why those things make you uncomfortable.
Yes. Yes. And for me, those things that I dislike about someone else or those things I struggle with my children, mm-hmm. those are things that I'm still struggling with, mm-hmm. that I have not completely reconciled or that I'm still reconciling mm-hmm. with. And that's just kind of how that goes. That's why our children are our greatest teachers.
Yeah.
Because they're constantly teaching us about how to take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So let's go. That's a great transition into the next question yeah. I have is self-care.
Yeah. Because
you talk a lot about self-care and you actually spoke at one of the Fem City events mm-hmm. last year, and it was supposed to be about self-care. It went into a little bit more deeper stuff, which was yes. fantastic. But again, what is self-care to you, and why is that important?
So, wow. So self-care, and I'm going to change the words a little bit mm-hmm. to soul care mm-hmm. And soul nourishment, mm-hmm. because I think sometimes when we talk about self-care, we have a superficial mm-hmm. layer mm-hmm. of I'm going to get my toes done, I'm going to get my nails done. When I take off work, you know, I'm just going to kind of sit around and watch Netflix all day, that type of self-care. Well, I did. I'm taking care of myself. I'm not at work. And so that's self-care. Or I'm going to take myself out to dinner. And it certainly can start there. But then self-care for me then transitions into soul care mm-hmm. and soul nourishment. And that is about taking a deeper look at what's happening again inside of you. What's going on with your emotions? What's going on in the environment? Mm-hmm. And so we were just talking about taking care of our inner little girl.
Yeah.
That, for me, is soul care. Mm-hmm. How is she feeling? Mm-hmm. What's she wanting and how is she wanting to express herself? How is my mom, my inner mother, wanting to express herself? So for me, soul care really is about trusting that you have what you need mm-hmm. inside and you can love yourself deeply mm-hmm. and learn to love yourself deeply. That for me is soul nourishment and self care.
I love that. Yeah, that's, I totally agree with that too, that it's not just about getting your toes done or taking yourself out to dinner, because I think that we spend so much time ignoring our basic needs that then we feel like we need to have those things, and those things are self-care.
Yes.
And to me, in a lot of ways, and I'm not saying that those things don't feel good. I love uh-huh. to go get my
yes.
nails done.
I
love
too.
To go out to a nice dinner, but it's more about... To me, those things are more about consumerism than they are about self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in kind of the same way, I read a book, and it was more about body positivity. But one mm-hmm. of the things it talked mm-hmm. about is when you're in that space, and this goes back to the mindfulness, too, but how mindfulness leads to self-care.
Yes, absolutely.
So one of the things she talked about what in the book, and I can't remember the name of the book right now, but she talked about having a hard day plan
mm-hmm.
and sitting down and going, okay, if I'm having a hard day,
yes.
here are some like automatic things that I could do. And it's read a book, take mm-hmm. a shower, very easy,
yes.
simple things that might get you out of the mindset.
Yes.
The other thing she talked about was she kind of had this chart of like different areas of focus to check in on yourself on.
Yes.
What have you been eating?
Mm-hmm.
Are you fueling yourself correctly?
Yes.
Have you exercised recently? Have you talked with your friends
yes.
recently?
Yes.
Have you gotten enough sleep? Like all of those things affect our mood and everything. And so she would say, look down this list, see where you are on things. And then see the areas where you've been deficit in
yes.
for a while.
Yes.
And
yes.
then try to put those, like, immediately, like, and even something as simple, she mentioned her medication.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I hadn't taken my medication today. That's the top of the list. Mm-hmm. And then I need to move more so I can get endorphins. And just do, like, the top three things that, like, need to be done immediately to make you feel better.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That I call those soul care.
Yeah.
Or self-care plans or soul care plans. And when I do, I did a corporate wellness talk on mindfulness and things like that. And always at the end, we focus on, okay, now let's actually pull out some paper and let's start writing down your soul care plan.
Yeah.
What are the top three things that we talked about today that you can begin to implement, that you can begin to think about implementing? Mm-hmm. Some people are not at the action stage.
Yeah.
So then we focus on, well, what are you ready to start thinking about more every day that will eventually turn into action?
Mm.
And I love that. That's a rainy day.
Hard day plan. There's two different ones. And I'll find it's by, the book is by a blogger that's the Militant Baker. And she's a body positive blog. And I keep, things no one will tell a fat girl is the name of the book.
Yes.
And, but it has really fantastic self-care advice in it. And I just... That was really, like, the first time where I really seen it laid out in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really mind-blowing to me because I do think self-care is such a hot topic right now.
Yes, yes.
But I do think it goes into the whole, let's go get your nails done or drink a glass of wine or I'm going to zone out in front of a television.
Yeah, let's just do a girl's night out or let's go drinking. Mm-hmm. Let's go to happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care is every day, all day, every moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is about mindfulness.
Yeah.
It is about understanding yourself.
Yeah.
Observing what's happening with me.
Mm-hmm.
Being in connection. Yesterday I had a really rough day.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally had a really, really rough day. My inner girl showed up and she was experiencing grief.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care for me was not to go and get ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get me some candy so bad. And it's like, no, I've got to be with these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to nurture myself. Hug myself, hug my little girl, get in my journal, start journaling, get outside, start really listening and trusting that this has showed up for a reason.
Yeah.
Self-care looks messy.
Yeah.
Soul care can look really, really messy because you are getting into those emotions that you may not have faced in a long time.
Yeah.
And if I'm going out on happy hour, I'm not getting in my emotions. And for me, that is not the level of soul care that I'm at.
And that's not to say having a good conversations with a friend and trying to work out your emotions isn't self-care.
Oh, my goodness. That's a huge self-care.
That's a huge self-care.
That is like community.
Yeah, that's community. But I think you have to sit down and really think when you're in a good headspace. Because you can't always that was the reason she kind of said that this author was like, write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're in that space, think about like a 2-year-old with a tantrum.
Yes.
Like they don't have the capacity to know what the next step is.
Yes.
They're just all emotion at that point.
Yes.
So if you're at the point where all you are is just this like visceral
mm-hmm.
you know, emotion. Yes. What is the next thing that you need to do that can make you start feeling like who you are again?
Yes.
And I even think that, for me, I know creativity is one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that I didn't do ever until in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Like, everyone would tell me I was creative, and I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't do any of that. Now I do all types of creative stuff. But but like, I even in the last year started painting and drawing and things like that.
Yes.
And like, they don't look good. I'm not going to go and show them to everybody. But but it's just something for
me
to just, it makes me feel good to just kind of do that.
Yes. It's not only making you feel good. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that. That is a way for you to express what's inside.
Yeah, it works through my emotions.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Emotional therapy.
Yeah.
Artistic therapy.
Therapy. And so, and I think everybody has those types of things where they have these things that just like feed their soul.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what those things are, start trying all types of stuff until you figure out what those things are for yourself.
Because we have a lot of distractions in our modern world.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that mindfulness, that stopping, that slowing down, mm-hmm. helps us to come out of that distracting yeah. type of mind, of yeah. energy, and find what truly feeds us.
Yeah.
And what truly feeds us may not be what people have told us. Oh, yeah, do this. This is what's going to feed you. Yeah, I like to be in the garden, and mm-hmm. I'm a tree hugger, and that's what feeds me. But mm-hmm. for someone who's not...
But for me, yeah.
I wouldn't force or even go in this long line of suggestions of, oh, yeah, do this. I'd say, no, how are you going to find mm-hmm. your greatest love song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that you could take that over into other areas of your life, too, like the type of exercise you do.
Absolutely.
And what you feel like is... based on more expert advice, diets that you're, yes. you know, doing and how yes. you nourish yourself.
Yes.
Because I know there's certain activities I enjoy and there's certain things that I hate to do.
Yes.
And so for exercise, for me, it's always like, I always tell myself it's to make myself feel better
mm-hmm.
because moving is going to make me feel better.
Yes, yes.
And so if you look at things like, what am I going to do to actually make me feel better mm-hmm. and not avoid whatever that emotion is?
Yes.
And I always say, so in my head, I always say to myself when I'm going through a bad emotion, have you heard that? There's like a little children's thing where it's like, we're going to grandma's house and then you get to an obstacle and they're uh-huh. like, you can't go yeah. over it. You can't go around it. You yes, have to go through it. And then they do like fun yes, little like yes. actions.
Uh-huh.
But every time I'm going through a hard emotion, that comes into my head.
Yes.
You
yes.
like, you just have to go through
yes,
it.
You have
the
to
only
go
way
it.
To get through it is to actually go through it. Because if you don't go through it,
yes.
it's going to come up in some other way.
It's going to come up in some other way.
Yeah.
yeah. That's, when I was young, that was called the bear hunt.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Going on the bear hunt.
Oh, yeah, the bear
and
hunt.
And you would come to each, like, you come to a lake, and you come to this, you come to that.
Yes.
And, you know, we do all the little different sounds of, like, mm-hmm. going through the grass mm-hmm. or swimming through the lake mm-hmm. or, yeah.
Yeah, that's that. It, the bear. I always
bear
think it's
hunt.
Grandma, but you're right, it's the bear. Because you're
hunt.
The first person I've said that to that remembers that little, because I tell people that, and I'm like, no one's ever heard this from
oh
me.
My gosh,
I know
that
it's
was
not.
My favorite.
I know.
And it's so fresh because I saw a client yesterday, and we were talking about that, and mm-hmm. I said, well, you know, you can't go over it.
Yeah.
And you can't go under it.
Yeah.
You gotta go through it. And it was about, you've got to be with these emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go under it. You can't go over it. You gotta go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get through it, you get to the other side.
And I know for me, when I'm having like the hardest time personally working, when I'm having like the most, like I can't get over something,
mm-hmm.
it's because I'm not willing to work through that emotion.
Absolutely.
And then I'm delaying my uncomfortableness
yes.
for longer and you
absolutely.
Avoid things, you
yes.
binge on television, you
yes.
do all of
yes.
these things that are just don't
yes.
actually fulfill you to work
yes.
through whatever those emotions
yes.
are.
Yes, yes. There's a great saying, I don't know who said it, but it is confusion is denial of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm confused, mm-hmm. I am denying the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not wanting to see mm-hmm. what it is.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm confused. So I can continue pretending that I'm confused, but if I want to stop being confused, then I need to start getting truthful with myself.
Mm, that's such a good one. So, you know, that is also a good... You're so good at transitions, Shantae.
I
love it. But so you talk about a lot about spirituality.
Yeah.
And we talked about your connection to nature as a way to combat stress and anxiety in your life, but... you know, what does spirituality mean to you, and what does that mean? How does it apply to all of these things that we're talking about? Because
yeah.
I'm going to say this right now, and I don't know if my parents are listening, but I'm now making it public. But, I mean, I don't believe in any God.
Uh-huh.
My husband is an proclaimed atheist. You notice how I like skirted around that. But being spiritual doesn't necessarily mean you have to believe in God.
It's all in your perceptions.
It's all in your perceptions.
It's kind
so
of
what
like
does
that,
it yeah,
yeah
so what does this mean, especially
yeah.
for someone that maybe isn't into that kind of
yeah.
headspace?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the headspace that I'm in with spirituality is that Spirituality to me really is about me connecting in with the part of myself that's a mystery, mm-hmm. and that I don't have to understand. I don't have to figure it out. I can allow something greater to be in me and outside of me at the same time. Hmm. And I love telling this story about my father. When I first started getting into understanding my spirituality and opening to my spirituality, mm-hmm. my spirit, mm-hmm. my soul, he would say, well, you know, ants live in this one-dimensional world. They just crawl on the ground, and they don't know you're there. They don't know that you're waving your hands above them. They're just walking and focused on that. And so a bird lives in three dimensions. Mm-hmm. A bird knows when you're sneaking up on it. It has a sense that you're around and will fly away to protect itself and whatnot. So the ant lives in that one-dimensional world. Mm-hmm. and isn't aware of those other dimensions, but yet those other dimensions exist. And so he would say, because I was starting to meditate and do yoga and all these different things, and he taught me hypnosis and all that, he says, as you begin to explore, we live in three dimensions. But just because you may not be aware, you can't see these other dimensions, doesn't mean that they're not there. So he, in essence, gave me permission to go as far and as deep as I wanted to go. Without any strings attached or any guilt attached to it. He's like, this is your responsibility to explore the depths and dimensions of your soul. So for me, that's spirituality. Spirituality is the exploration of this great mystery. And it's just grown over the years.
And what is your truth based on your experiences and who you are and how you're perceiving the world, or just the truth, or...
I don't know if I have a truth or the truth. The truth for me is that it's a mystery, and that it's okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think what you kind of said is being willing to understand that you are not in control of everything, and giving, and not trying to be in control of everything, and just kind of being, I like that, going back to the beginning, being curious, being curious of who you are and what's around you and how that all interacts and plays together in the world.
Yes.
Is, I think it's really powerful, because it also helps you, I think, put yourself into perspectives of other people.
Yeah.
The more you understand yourself and how you've come to the conclusions about who you are helps you kind of understand where other people come from in ways too.
Yes. Yes. Where other people come from, or it gives me permission to not have to figure it out, but to always come from a space of love.
Oh, I love that too.
Just come from a space of love. That's it. So if there's a truth, the truth is that it's all about love.
I love that.
If I was to cling on to a truth, that would be it. I don't have to figure someone else out. I can just come and be in love.
Gotcha. But that comes from, it comes from loving yourself. You can love others when you love yourself.
Yes.
I agree. Yes. I definitely agree with that. Yeah. I do think that you can love others if you don't love yourself, but it's so much harder.
Yeah.
It's so much harder. And you have a bigger capacity if you're if you learn how to love yourself first.
Yes, absolutely. When for me it was when I understand that I am love and that everything else is love too. Then it's not about me loving someone else. It is about me recognizing the love that they are. Because we're reflections of each other.
Okay, Shantae, I've loved this conversation, but we're going to have to get going soon. So let me know, the last question I have for you is, what is a piece of advice that has stuck with you over the years?
Oh, my goodness. So, you know how we're always evolving. And so advice that I've gotten years ago may not, they were really great then, but now they don't serve. It doesn't serve anymore. So when I think about it, I think the advice that I'm dancing with right now is that I'm enough.
That's something I tell myself all the time.
Yeah.
So I really like that, because I think, especially as women, we don't think that we're enough.
We don't.
We don't.
We really do not think that we're enough, and we're constantly trying to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do better tomorrow. I'm going to focus on being a better person tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And cool. I read something recently, and it was, consider saying, I'm going to be more tomorrow. I'm going to be more of who I already am.
Hmm.
When I focus on being better, I'm unconsciously saying I'm not enough.
Yeah. I like the I'm going to be more tomorrow instead of I'm going to do more tomorrow.
Yes. Yes.
I like that. That is a change in mindset.
That is a change in mindset. Mm-hmm. And it takes a little bit, because I've really been working. I've been on my I'm worthy journey for the past couple years, and really trying to understand that I am worthy and that I am enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so that concept of I'm going to be more has just really helped things to bloom and blossom because, again, that's a reflection of nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're ever expanding. It's not about being better.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being more, expanding, making more room.
Yeah.
So I'm in the process of just making more room for more of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's a star.
Mm-hmm.
That's a star being.
I love that. Because one of the things I kind of have said in general is the world would be such a better place if everyone could really be like the most them that they could be.
Yes.
You know, whoever, whatever that is to you,
yes,
you know, yes. Like be the most you that you can be.
Yes. Yes. And I believe everyone is light.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we're all light.
Mm-hmm.
And so just be more light and even more light. And tomorrow be even more light.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, even more light.
I love that. I'm saying love a lot, but it's so fantastic. So, Shantae, where can everyone find you on the interwebs?
Oh, on the interwebs. So, I have a website, shantae.com.
Okay.
That you can find out about me, what I'm doing. I have a blog. My blog is Random Ramblings of a Modern Day Medicine Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gives me permission to talk about whatever happens to be floating around my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have that. And the other way they can find me is Soul Care U, which is a online empowerment and healing center where I offer e-courses.
Awesome.
For supporting people to tap into their light.
So if you want to take some of these, you know, take some practical steps to some of the things that we're talking about,
yes,
then you have some things that can help people out with that.
I do.
That's awesome.
I do.
Awesome. So with that, I think we're gonna end now. But I had such a wonderful time talking to you. I hope everybody. I love just like listening to your voice. It's just calming to sit here and talk with you.
Gosh, thank you.
But it was awesome for you to come out. And until next time, we'll see you later.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us here today on Orlando Lady Boss. And if you enjoyed this episode, please take the time to check us out on iTunes, where you can download all of our episodes, or on Google Play. And if you're enjoying what you're listening to, please, please give us a rating on iTunes or Google Play. That is how other people discover us and find out more about us. Also, you can check out the blog, OrlandoLadyBoss.com, and on there you can find all types of stuff about feminism and women-owned businesses and how to make an impact in your own world.
in, you can sign up for the monthly email list where I'll give you news and updates on things you need to know about women making an impact in Orlando and beyond, along with advice on how you can start making an impact in your own way. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Orlando Lady Boss, and you can like me on Facebook at facebook.com/OrlandoLadyBoss. And if you are a woman in Orlando doing something awesome, make sure you hashtag it with #OrlandoLadyBoss. Thanks so much for joining me today. Until next time, stay strong and go out and make an impact in your own world.